Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the ball!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You are listening to the Bryce Harper White Sox Talk Podcast. Could be called that in the future.
Brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank. Home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special Bryce Harper White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. All right, Chuck Carson here with Ryan McGuffey and Slavko Bekovic. The White Sox pursuit of Bryce Harper continues to provide more interest and intrigue with another twist to the story. The latest coming from Jeff Passan and Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports, who wrote a detailed column saying that upward of a dozen teams have traveled or plan to travel to Harper's home in Las Vegas to meet with him. One team that already has is the White Sox, who enlisted the help of Jim Thome to be a part of their pitch to bring Harper to the South Side. Now, guys, a lot to break down here, not just about the White Sox and what this all means about the White Sox, but the other teams involved, like the Dodgers, who many thought had no interest. They brought Magic Johnson to their pitch. But let's start with the White Sox. Guff, we knew that there was probably going to be this pitch. May have already happened. We didn't know Thome was going to be there. What does this say to you, this news?
That this is real? Like, any, I mean, I know Jeff tweeted a follow-up tweet to that saying, you know, not sure if White Sox are real or if they're just trying to, like, set up here, but they did send Jim Thome. They are real. I mean, they're players, and they're a realistic player because they're a team that's, you know, set up and positioned themselves for years for this exact free agency and next year's free agency. Whether or not they get him, we could debate. We have debated that, but while there might be some people that are shocked to see the White Sox in this mix, not shocked at all.
I'm not either. And I'm 100% with you. I think it means that this wasn't just a ploy, so to speak. Like, hey, yeah, we've got these great free agents out there. We want to go after them. They are genuinely, legitimately giving their best effort, putting their best foot forward to try to better this franchise. And after the moves that they made last week, letting Davidson and Avi Garcia walk, I mean, at this point, you're in need of bodies as it is, and what better body to get to replace your right fielder in Avi Garcia than Bryce Harper?
So what does Jim Thome bring to the table? One thing I thought about was this.
Have you texted him yet, first of all?
You know what? I decided to
I was pretty stunned. I thought for sure that you'd have some kind
of... You know what? I don't want to put him in that spot.
Not yet. I get it.
Not yet.
Tomorrow morning.
But I mean, because he's representing the team.
Right.
I don't want to be... He can't say anything. I don't want to put him in that spot of like, you know, I just don't want to do that. But I'm just trying to imagine what he can bring. Now, one thing that popped in my head, it's a couple things, actually. Is this going to be like a 10-year deal? Probably.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there might be some outs in there. I don't know. But if it's a 10-year deal, say, Jim Thome could say, listen, you don't want to be in the National League because when you're 34, 35, 36 years old, you want to be able to DH, or at least get off your feet to DH and not just in interleague play.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
And I, as a former DH, can tell you this is going to allow you to play longer, make more money potentially in your next contract, and your numbers will continue to be good. If you can drive that home to Bryce Harper, sayonara, Cardinals, you know, all the National League teams, Nationals, Phillies, come to the American League, that's where he belongs.
I think Slavko, actually, and I want you to elaborate on this, but you brought up a good point off mic in a text format earlier this morning that I actually didn't think of at all, and with Thome makes a lot of sense.
He played for both teams, with Philadelphia being supposedly the odds-on favorite, and – I guess, the team that wants to spend a stupid amount of money on Harper and many others. And we're hearing now that, you know, Corbin apparently has this huge offer from Philly. Obviously, Jim Thome played for the Phillies as well. So he can go to Harper and say, look, I've played in both towns and make the pitch for why Chicago is better than Philadelphia, not only to play for, but also why the organization would be a better choice for him now and in the long term. Because like you said, no matter what, this is going to be a long-term deal. He's going to make a lot of money over a lot of years. There will be outs. There will be opt-out clauses. But he has an in-depth knowledge of the organization, where the White Sox currently stand, the youth that they will be bringing to the table in the major league side within the next few years. And he's got a very good in-depth knowledge of that. So he is...
He's not just hearing it from Rick Hahn.
Right.
That's the point I was going to make right
Jim
there.
Jim Thome is one of the guys... in baseball history, I think in humanity, who might have
human history
the most credibility as like the genuinely nicest human being anyone has ever met or spoken to ever. I don't know how that kind of affects how this would be with Harper's personality compared to Thome, because I would imagine they're probably very, very different people. But that the first pitch was, oh, wow, they got someone who's a Hall of Famer, who had a great career, and works for the White Sox to go straight to Harper and say, this is why you should come here. And then number two, whoa, Philly's a favorite. He played there, came to the White Sox, prolonged his career. He can maybe dissuade some of those favoritism
here's
things
what I think.
With Philly.
That's a great point. You made two really good points. But
thank you.
The one part of it, though, that I'm not sure Jim would do, because he is such a nice guy, is criticize Philadelphia.
I don't think he'd bash the Phillies or the city.
Right.
I think it would almost be like a word of warning. If you started 3 for 30 with the Philadelphia Phillies, that city could eat you alive.
I'll say this. Jim Thome played 2,543 games.
That's a lot of games.
He only played 529 with the White Sox. So why does this organization mean so much to him?
Well, that's another good point. Yeah.
Whoa. That's what I'm saying. He's sitting there going to tell you, I played 22 years, and only four of them I spent with the Chicago White Sox. That I have basically now invested the rest of my life into.
Right.
Here's why this organization means so much, have positioned themselves right here. Jerry, he could sell the Reinsdorf, but I think more than anything, and to pick up kind of what where Slavko left off, is that it's not Rick Hahn telling you this. It's a guy who's did it, who played the game, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Credibility.
Who has instant respect with players and the knowledge of the current system to say, hey, you're going to hear a lot. Anybody could queue up MLB.com and look at top 100 prospects. But who knows about him?
Right.
He could actually tell you, hey, Luis Robert is exactly to you. If you have any questions about these guys, I'm going to tell you when they're going to be in Chicago.
Me and Eloy Jimenez on the corner outfields on the south side for the next 10 years. It's a pretty damn good selling point there.
Yep.
What if he said, and you know what? Maybe, I shouldn't speak like this. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to say it. Nothing against Todd Stevenson, okay? But what if he said, you know what? Darn it. Maybe in a few years, I'll be your hitting coach.
I'll tell you one thing right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a plus two.
Todd Stevenson may even step aside if it means Bryce Harper's coming to the White Sox.
But I think
he may not have a choice.
Yeah. I did start coming up with, and we were on this the Hot Stove Show on Facebook Live. You should check it out every Tuesday and Thursday at 12:30. We were coming up with, like, the perfect pitch team. I love that the White Sox said, you know what? Jim Thome, come on down.
Yeah.
Come to Vegas. Let's do this pitch.
Was Benny the Bull there? Do we know?
No.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go the other way on this. But go
think
ahead.
About who they could have had in the room. If they would have brought Thome, Frank Thomas, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, Barack Obama. You put all those guys in the room, Bryce Harper's already signed with the White Sox.
Maybe. How much are you giving him the most money?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the stuff I don't care. I don't care who they bring. I think that's like blown up. It's like fantasy talk.
I think all of that is like 5% of what factors into who he signs with.
Right. Magic Johnson.
I'm not expecting. I was being sarcastic.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. I do think it helps the pitch to have a guy like Thome.
I do too.
And if there's one person that's tied to your organization and your franchise that you want to go send, can you think of somebody who'd be a better choice than Thome?
No.
Probably not.
Maybe Canerco.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the money part of this. And I did a little bit of research here. And it is the Jerry Reinsdorf factor.
Okay.
And we've talked about this before, and there've been, you know, we believe that he would actually spend the money. He's done it in the past, but I think there are some signs of things that have happened recently, and it had to do with the Jose Abreu signing, that lead me to believe that maybe, I mean, not just maybe, that the White Sox aren't just showing up here. All right. First off, Michael Jordan. Reinsdorf knows exactly what a cornerstone franchise player can do to an organization for Michael Jordan.
With marketability.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not just the player.
Right.
And the contract. It's everything else that comes with it. He saw firsthand. I'm not comparing Bryce Harper to Michael Jordan, but there's that element to it. So he knows very specifically about that. Now, here's to Abreu. After they signed Abreu, here's Marco Patti.
I remember that.
Who was the international scout who basically helped make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "We were able to sign Jose Abreu because we had an owner who believed in what we were doing. Jerry Reinsdorf is the all-star in all of this. The price got higher, but that didn't stop Jerry."
I think the crap about the White Sox being cheap and stuff from the past, I keep saying, like, they were in on A-Rod until the Rangers outbid themselves, really. And I mean, they were.
Yeah.
And there's you have to be realistic, too. Like, who really did the White Sox miss out on that you really, in the past, go, man, you know, I...
Probably Torrey Hunter might be it.
Okay, but, like, not Torrey Hunter in his 20s.
Right.
They went out and got guys. The problem is they got him at the wrong time, at 34 and 32 years old, and they spent a lot of money. And I'm going to... you have one more?
I got one more, sorry.
Yeah.
And then this is even more, I think, profound. All right, this is... I'm taking this from... I don't know where I got what article I got this from, but I'm just going to read it. The White Sox, before they signed Abreu, were coming off their worst season since 1970, and their attendance had declined for a seventh consecutive year.
Mm-hmm.
So team chairman Jerry Reinsdorf ultimately approved the expenditure to sign Abreu, though not before questioning his management team's sanity more than once.
Wow.
Hahn, this is a quote, said, "He understood," talking about Reinsdorf, "this was precisely the type of risk we needed to take given where we were as an organization." And it feels, this is now me talking, it feels a lot like where they are today.
Yeah.
Like, they've done this rebuild. They're coming off 100 losses. All right, that stunk. They see what's coming. They see what's on the market. Hahn keeps talking about we need unique talent, the guy who's young and can grow with this team. This is the Cubs thing, attendance where the White Sox have been, their TV ratings. This is, if there was a time to go all in on a player, this would be. And you can say, hey, I don't want Bryce Harper. Fine. But it looks like the White Sox
have made that decision.
But there are some people out there might feel
spend money to make money, right?
Right.
Like, this is the ultimate case of that. If you spend $300+ million on Bryce Harper, your franchise is going to, the value of your franchise is going up tomorrow. Your TV ratings are going up when you have a new TV deal coming. When's the last time, and I'm not kidding about this, like, that you saw the White Sox brand nationwide outside of a Dr. Dre video?
I know.
I'm not kidding.
There was like one old...
Yes, Obama's... Yeah.
There was an old ESPN commercial with Konerko and Tim Hudson. Remember the foul pole, fair pole, and the Black Sox, White Sox? That's like the last time I remember the White Sox being in any sort of national anything, and even just in a commercial.
Yeah.
If Chance and Obama are good as well, you know, they wear the Sox gear and they'll throw out the first pitch and whatnot, but that's for the modern day.
But Bryce Harper will make fans go to MLB.com and order jerseys.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this.
Regardless of if you live in Seattle or Portland, Maine, people are going to be like, man, it's the marquee player and I need to get that jersey tomorrow.
When MLB The Show comes out.
Yep. Good point.
He's going to be on the cover in a White Sox jersey, assuming if they sign
him.
Right.
That immediately gives you some sort of national notoriety and at least attention because, wow, this is the most marketable player in baseball wearing the White Sox jersey on a video game that millions will buy.
Harper alone will bring national recognition to the White Sox again as well. They will probably be on ESPN Sunday Night Game of the Week at least once a month.
Yeah.
And they'll have probably a national beat person that's kind of stationed in Chicago because you have the game's marquee player. And when you have the game's marquee player, other players take notice and all of a sudden become a destination.
Right.
There's so many layers to this. There's so many. It's like one gigantic domino that if it happens and starts to fall, all the things that come in place behind it. And everyone's like, oh, the White Sox aren't ready to win. Everything changes with Bryce Harper if he signs with the White Sox. Everything.
It's a 10-year deal. Okay. They can stink for three more years. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I mean, you've got seven more years on top of it after that.
Yes.
So if anyone who's going to think, well, they had 100 losses last season. Okay. That you could choose the Houston Astros right now.
Yeah.
Where are they going to be in 5 years? And he still has 5 years left on his contract. So you can't just look at, oh, where are the White Sox right now? What else do you think the White Sox are pitching?
I think we touched on it already. The future. It's the prospects. And it's tough to say, these guys are not ready yet. But you show him, here's the lineup in 2021. And this is the ceiling that we are expecting for all of these guys. And you put him in a lineup with Abreu, Moncada hits his ceiling, Luis Roberts there, Eloy Jimenez, there's protection. And by the way, I don't think they would stop adding pieces.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if they traded or signed another guy. Yeah. We've mentioned Nelson Cruz in the past. If you get Bryce Harper, put Nelson Cruz in there too. Eloy, Harper, Abreu, and Cruz.
The fact that the Sox already had a meeting with him, does that give you a thought that maybe that helps them? They've already met with him. Harper already said, yeah, I want to meet with you. And this happened, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago.
I certainly like the idea of them not doing it because the winter meetings are in. I'm sure there are teams that are pitching to him around the winter meetings because everyone's going to be there anyway. So I do like the fact that they were proactive, aggressive, and are one of the first teams that actually could say, hey, we have our stuff together, so to speak.
To me, it's the group of teams that they're lumped in with right now.
Yeah.
The Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Phillies, and the White Sox. Those are the four main teams that Passan mentioned.
Yeah.
That's good company to be with if you want to sign top players.
If you drive through L.A., everyone's got a billboard. In Chicago, Bryce could own the whole damn town. I'm serious. Yeah. L.A. has LeBron, 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 and it'd be like, oh, there's Harper, and then there's Hollywood, and then there's the rest of the Dodgers. Not here. That's what I'd be selling. I'm like, come own this thing.
Yeah.
You're bigger than you will own the city. And I'm telling you, there's a billboard right there after Jane Byrne coming in that's a Mega Million. It's an Illinois Lottery billboard. I'd pay the Illinois Lottery to remove that, to move it up the road, and I would have Bryce Harper right there, huge-ass billboard with like the Dennis Rodman beard from the old 90s billboard right there on the Kennedy that caused car accidents. And he'd be pointing because you could see Guaranteed Rate Field from there too. He would just be pointing south. It would say nothing. The billboard would say nothing.
I love it.
It would have a huge Sox logo. It would have Bryce Harper, and it would be pointing that way.
Have you emailed Brooks Boyer about this yet?
And actually, it's a
Brooks, that's a free tip right there, my man.
And it's a perfect spot because that Jane Byrne interchange, they've been working on it for like 10 years.
There's always going to be traffic.
There's always going to be traffic, so you're going to spend a ton of time there, and you're like, oh, there's Bryce Harper.
I've already
thinking about this for a little bit while I'm stuck in traffic.
I've clearly thought a lot about that billboard, and I've thought a lot about just Bryce, that's it. It needs to say nothing other than
honestly,
a White Sox
just the
logo.
The idea of a sign somewhere with Bryce Harper in a White Sox jersey has got to be extremely exciting for White Sox fans.
All right, so I think people are saying Phillies, Phillies, Phillies. I think the Yankees, I'm worried about that.
How about the Cubs? You worried about that? You should be. I think you should be. I think they're the team that everyone's going, why aren't they involved? And I think that they're just kind of hanging out going, no need to.
The mystery team that we always hear about.
No need to be involved when we're involved already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are reports that the Cubs are involved.
Passan said as much in the article, said they will be in the mix. They're still in the mix.
I didn't like that they said, I shouldn't say I didn't like it, but he said they're checking in. Checking in to me sounds like, well, we're just kind of doing some
monitoring the situation.
We're getting some intel, not for ourselves to sign them, but just to find out what's going on out there. But who knows? But you're right. The Cubs, I know they you could say, they print money, but they spent a lot of money last year.
Yeah, they would have to get a little bit more creative on how they get it, probably. But checking in means to me, hey, if it gets after the calendar year and he hasn't signed, then I think other teams become involved. I really do. And I also think that helps the White Sox, too. I think the longer this plays out, the longer, if he gets past the winter meetings and doesn't sign, I think those are good things for the White Sox.
Because other teams would be like, I can't wait anymore, or what?
I just think, I do think that that's part of it. Some teams won't be able to just wait on Bryce Harper, and they have to fill these positions of need, and they have this money to spend, whereas the White Sox don't necessarily, they don't have to sign him tomorrow. They could sit back and wait and still be still be able to check some boxes in somewhat, you know. Yeah. And I hate using that phrase, and that was not a.
It works though.
That was not a.
Sorry, Rick Hines.
That was not. That was not a shot or a pun.
Hmm. Yeah.
But I do think it could play out for the White
Sox.
Yeah.
Sox. Okay. But I, you never know with Scott Boras, but because so many teams are just motivated to sign him.
Yeah.
It feels like he will sign sooner rather than later. That yeah. it won't drag on like others do.
It just I can't feels see that it. Way. I mean, he's the main domino, right? So once that falls, Machado goes next. Then the rest of the guys go. I think you'll see some other guys, Corbin, Keuchel, maybe something like that, they'll sign before. But Harper's the main domino. Until he falls, the market doesn't really move much.
Right.
It's strange to me that Machado would wait on Harper. Like, the talent level is pretty equal, and that we're kind of waiting on Bryce Harper.
I think it really comes down to it's more than just a baseball player.
Right.
And yeah, Bryce Harper brings more.
That's a good point.
Than
he does.
Machado does.
He does.
So that's,
from that aspect, he does.
And I could not see the White Sox doing this with Machado. I'm not saying they wouldn't want to sign him.
Okay.
No, but they wouldn't I agree go with you, yeah. all the way.
It's
like
a
they
business
are.
Decision.
Yeah,
signing
yeah.
Bryce Harper yeah. is more than just acquiring a baseball player, like you said. And Guff, like you said earlier, you invest $350 million in him, but your franchise value, your marketing, everything. Brooks Boyer is sitting there like, all right, let's get to work. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's make this team some more money.
I had this Buster Olney tweet. This was, I think, from yesterday. Agents and execs have privately noted this. With all these trades going down, some teams are filling pitching and positional needs through those deals, and this will eventually affect some of the many, many free agents. Fewer places to land in the winter game of free agent musical chairs.
Yeah, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. You know, the Mariners have really yes. made things interesting.
Yes,
yeah. and even
it's a
with
huge
the,
help to
even
the White
with
Sox.
The yeah. even with the Phillies, like the Segura trade really is. I am really intrigued by what's going on, because not that they couldn't sign Machado anyway, because they could sign Machado for third base, and
right.
I mean, I think any team that signs is pretty much signing him as a third baseman, but they don't need to now. I mean, they don't necessarily need to sign Manny Machado now. I think they will if they don't get Harper, and they'll figure, because they are basically telling you they're going to sign one of them.
Yeah.
But like, if the Phillies are taking, like, let's just say the Phillies sign Harper, mm-hmm. okay? And I know that's not where this podcast is going, but what if all of a sudden the Phillies are probably out on Manny Machado? Who a lot of people...
Oh, yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the Yankees land Corbin. And I just... I'm
think
with
Machado
you.
Machado ends up with the White Sox in
I
scenario?
Do think, like, some of those... Like, Machado, like, the longer that one goes,
yeah.
I think that definitely favors the White Sox. I think that favors...
I think the Machado one can linger.
Yeah.
That can...
And I think the yeah. maybe the... That, you know, talking this out like this, maybe that... scenario would actually favor the White
Either
Sox.
Either way, we will be happy.
Oh, my God.
If you end up with one of those two guys, you walk away very pleased.
I look forward to the day if we're doing any of the two podcasts and it's real.
Oh, man. I think I got everything I want to talk about here. The Phillies, though, they've actually come out and said, we are going to spend big, stupid money.
Stupid money,
Corbin,
yeah.
Machado, Harper. Like, if they don't get any of these guys, their fan base is going to be irate.
I'd be stunned if they don't get one of those three that you mentioned.
I got something for you here from Jeff Passan.
What do you got?
Magic Johnson says he did not go to Las Vegas to meet with Bryce Harper.
Dun, dun,
really?
Dun.
Our original story has been updated to reflect this and has quotes from Magic Johnson.
Wow.
So there's your Trump card,
wow.
baby. Now Magic probably wishes he would have gone.
Hey, you know what that says to me?
What?
The Dodgers are not as all in on him as you think, because if they were... They're bringing Magic Johnson.
Well,
to the table.
So we need to clarify first. If they have met with Harper and Magic was not there, I mean, you're
here's
just assuming
here's Magic's quote.
Okay.
The only time I remember meeting Bryce Harper was on the field at Dodger Stadium 2 years ago when Dusty Baker introduced us. So there you go.
That's
unless he's being really coy.
Yeah.
But why would you go on the record and make a
right,
comment?
Yeah.
Why
right,
would
don't
you?
Need
why
to.
Would you say that at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, but then it's also this: the Dodgers have so many outfielders. Now, granted, yeah, you're going to make room for Bryce Harper, but like they already have a glut of outfielders, and then you're going to bring in Bryce Harper to the table. It just seems like, you know, you want to go different directions than just signing Bryce Harper. That's just what it feels like.
I've heard the sign Harper trade Puig for pitching thing with the Dodgers. I think that makes a lot
yeah,
of sense for them.
Yeah, that's what I think. Guff, do you have more news to share?
Well, one of the dominoes, and not one of those dominoes, one of the smaller dominoes, has latched on. Patrick Corbin.
We got to talk about this and what this means for Bryce Harper. That's next on the White Sox Talk podcast.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC. Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
And we're back. Guff, please explain what you've learned about Patrick Corbin. It just happened while we've been taping the podcast.
Well, you know, there's so much talk about the Phillies spending stupid money, but the Washington Nationals are the team that lands Patrick Corbin. 6 years, $140 million.
Well, first off, they were laying in the weeds, those Nationals.
Yeah, that's one of those mystery teams that we always discuss with those big free agents, and it seemed like everyone was sure that he was going to sign with Philadelphia, and Corbin was going to be step one of whatever plan the Phillies have for that stupid amount of money. But now it's the Nationals spending stupid money on a pitcher for 6 years.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic that the White Sox are not involved with Patrick Corbin. They would have never given Patrick Corbin that kind of money or those years. And the Yankees, which were the team he grew up rooting for, were also said to be in on Corbin. 5 years, $100 million was their offer.
Jeez.
But they didn't want to go six. So, the Nationals, this is going to happen. Not just like we've seen with Patrick Corbin, but we've been talking about Bryce Harper. This is going to happen. The teams that it appears he's going to Philly. Philly's not going to be outbid, and then boom.
So watch, a team like the Giants will sign Bryce Harper. No one's even talking about that.
Yeah, someone that would just make no sense.
Yeah, well, a team that just can't look in the mirror and be like, we're old and aging, and we won 3 World Series. We should probably redo this thing. Nah, let's just keep on.
Yeah, we had Barry Bonds. Just put Bryce Harper in right field, and we'll be good.
So there's like two sides to this Corbin signing, right? And it's both, what does this mean for the Nats? Does this mean that he's step one in them trying to retain Bryce Harper? Or does this mean we know we're not re-signing Harper, so we're going to take that money and spend it elsewhere?
That's how I look at it. Like, yeah. There's only so much they're going to go. They already have all that money. What's the number you had there that they have tied up into the rotation?
Bob Nightingale, $525 million invested in their top three. That's just not their 4 and 5 starter.
Right.
That's Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin.
And then you want to add, you try to add, you know.
So that's like $80 million.
I think maybe they could be in the game for Harper, but there's only so much they'd be willing to go after signing Corbin.
And he's already turned down 10 for 300 straight up.
A lot
right?
of deferred money. Keep in mind, that deal also had a lot of deferred money. So it was $300 million, but it wasn't $300 million up front. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
It was just like, it was a 10-year, $300 million deal with a ton of money on the back end.
I think this just takes out one possible bidder for Harper. That's how I look at it.
I still think the Nationals are very much in play because it's the one thing he knows. And to me, signing Corbin is a commitment to not just the Nationals, but it's prove it to Bryce that says, hey, we're still all in. Whether you're in here in Washington with us or not, we are all in.
And we've heard from multiple people saying that don't discount the Nats at the end of the day being the team that he stays with,
right?
Because of the familiarity, because of what he's built there already, he's got a fan base that loves him and adores him in that city. I see this as the Nats saying, look, we want to stay a competitor. Mm-hmm. You're still the cornerstone. We just got in another piece that's going to help us stay good and be a legit contender in the NL.
I would argue they probably have the best relationship with Scott Boras in baseball as well.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So there are, while Chuck is saying the Nationals are out on Bryce Harper, I'm throwing caution to the wind and saying they're certainly a team that everyone should take seriously, including the White Sox, and I'm sure they do. Yeah, because just because they offered him a 10-year, $300 million deal in the last weekend of the regular season, they had that luxury and the capability to do that because he was right under their program. They had him right there. Teams do this all the time where they, you know, the Bulls did it with Jimmy Butler. You know, they give you a lower a deal that you think you can get him because you know each other.
The hometown distance, so to speak. Yeah.
They come back around on the back end.
I just feel like the Nationals have a thing. Like, they just have this postseason thing. They just can't get to the next level. If I'm Bryce Harper, I'm thinking, you know what, let's try it somewhere else. I'm moving on.
I certainly want to buy all
that. I'm in on that one too, yeah.
Every time I say Bryce Harper and the White Sox, I have a huge smile on my face. I walk different. But I also am trying.
How are you walking?
My chest.
I don't want to know.
But my chest certainly feels a little more puffy.
Yeah.
But we don't. The White Sox don't have Bryce Harper yet.
Well,
so I'm trying to like.
Yeah.
I'm
I would say this: that I think that Corbin not signing with the Yankees might make the Yankees go, okay, well, we didn't get Corbin. Now we'll settle for a J. Happ.
Yeah.
An Ovaldi, and now we might have more money to go out and sign Bryce Harper.
I'm with you on that. Yeah.
So that's
or Manny Machado.
I've always kind of thought Corbin was a domino in the Harper. Maybe not necessarily.
Every single one of these guys is a domino.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously Harper's the main domino, but I've always, you know, I've said for a while, go get Corbin if you're one of these teams going after Harper, and then say, look, we want you to. We just brought on this guy. We're serious about it. And that was something I wanted the White Sox to at least look into, not at $140 million over 6 years, so I'm with you on that.
Well, here's Bob Nightingale. The Nats, after signing Patrick Corbin, have not ruled out the possibility of still re-signing Bryce Harper if the deal was structured to their liking. So,
which means it won't be to Bryce Harper's liking.
So basically, we're all right. The Nationals aren't out.
Yeah.
Chuck says it kind of paints that they are out, but they're not really out.
But because they're still the Nats, they still have a shot.
Yeah, yes. But I would say because of these perceived competition, supreme competition for Harper, that puts them at a disadvantage in theory. If he was, unless what was really tugging him was, I want to stay in D.C. I want to stay in D.C. In that regard, I would say maybe they'd have a better chance of signing him.
Well, it's clear that the not just the money was involved here, because the Phillies, who would not be outbid, gave Corbin a five-year offer per John Heyman, just like the Yankees. Hmm. And, you know, stability matters. This is Corbin's payday right here, one-time deal. You know, and he got the extra year and clearly the extra money too. I think now what scares me about this is now, like, the Phillies are absolutely desperate.
Yeah.
The owners already said stupid money. They went out and tried to get their first guy, and they missed. And now they're sitting there. He's sitting there going, oh, my God, tomorrow we were supposed to introduce Patrick Corbin in Philadelphia at 2 o'clock. God, we can't lose again. And this is where money gets stupid.
You know how I can see this shaking out if Harper does end up in Philly? Is that they give him that crazy front-loaded type deal that we've discussed.
Yep.
Where the first, you know, he's got to opt out after 4 years. He makes $200 million in the first 4 years. $50 million a year.
You'll be a free agent again when you're 30.
Exactly. And then you go get your primetime deal once more at age 30.
Interesting stuff. All right, I almost don't want to end the podcast.
I know,
there might be
here.
Something else. So
everybody
who's listening to this, if something breaks, it's not because we didn't know it happened. It just hadn't happened yet. So unless it's really big, we'll have to just redo the whole podcast. But this is, we're not going to do this again, right? We're stopping. Are we stopping right now?
Are we going to do the predictions?
Okay, let's predict.
Okay.
When will Bryce Harper sign? When's it going to be? Goff, you want to go first?
I think it'll happen as much as I'd love, and he would love, and Scott Boras would love the showmanship of Vegas. I'm going to say before Christmas, but after the winter meetings.
Okay.
I still think it's winter meetings. He's too much of a showman, and Scott Boras wants too much of the attention. In Las Vegas, Harper's hometown, he's going to fly in on a parachute or something. Evel Knievel's going to do a backflip. And then
that would be pretty good. You actually have David Copperfield.
Right, exactly. David Blaine appears out of nowhere, and here's the contract. That he's
Celine signed. Dion
it's
will show
be
up.
Something outrageous.
I haven't thought about that.
This
is
going to be white
good.
Siberian Cher, tigers. Cher, he's going to walk in with Cher, two tigers.
Cher for yes. sure. Absolutely.
I agree with you, Slavko. All the elements are there. You've
right.
got Boras, who believes in the circus, so to speak. Bryce Harper, it's in his hometown, and there's this momentum of GMs, teams, owners who are going to be flocking to Las Vegas. And you know how, you know, you go to Vegas, you got all this money in your pockets, you know, and you want to spend it.
You're going to
win
it.
Something.
Where are you going to spend it?
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
You want to spend it not at the blackjack table. You want to spend it at the poker game known as Bryce Harper.
I'll tell you what, with these trades and you know, a guy like Corbin signing early before the meetings, it's like I'm actually buying into that a little bit as we sit here and talk. I'm going, okay,
the domino just fell.
Yeah. The domino just fell, and there's teams that are panicking because they thought they were getting the domino.
They are going to be motivated.
We'd all agree this is the top name after Harper Machado.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Want to bet on a day? Not bet.
I like the bet.
Yeah.
Play into
it's
the
Vegas. Yeah. I will bet that it's a day that ends in Y. I'll give you odds on that one, too.
I'm going late Monday night. Late.
That's
wow,
my
right out of the
concern.
Gate, huh?
Late Monday night.
Right out
it's
of the gate.
It's going to happen 4 o'clock Chicago time in the a.m., right?
I don't know if I can, because some teams still say they want to meet with Bryce Harper. So that has to happen.
That we found out.
That's why I'm kind of pushing it. Right. That's why I'm going.
November 19th, right? White Sox met with Harper on November 19th.
Yeah, that's Monday before Thanksgiving.
That's a couple weeks already, and we had no idea until
Bruce
recently.
Bruce Levine reported that.
I mean, that's – I love that.
Mm. Right. And we should probably
get in there early. Put the flag down.
We should probably say, because we didn't say it earlier, but Levine reported that it's not a shock that the White Sox were promoting their young future, your young
You think they
players.
Helped season the turkey in the Harper home? I think so.
Oh, man.
Fried or baked?
Both.
Yes. They'll have the money for it, that's for sure.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Bryce Harper White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking. It's free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.